Hebrews 12, 1. We're going to read this. You know, we got to come to a place to make some vows before God. We got to come to a place of making vows before God. Walking with God. Let me see who loved Jesus. It's one thing to love Jesus, another thing to walk with Jesus. I said there's one thing to love him, and it's another thing to walk with him. It's one thing to love him, and it's another thing to serve him. There are dimensions. Somebody say dimensions. Did I say Hebrews? I meant Romans. Sorry. All right, let's stay right here. That's a beautiful scripture. We'll work with that. And then we'll go to Romans. Therefore, since we are what? Somebody say surrounded. A lot of times you think you're the only one. You think you're the only one worshiping. You think you're the only one praising God. But the Bible says we are surrounded. We are surrounded. And we are actually surrounded by what we don't see. We are surrounded by what we do not see. We are surrounded by a cloud of what? So great a cloud of witnesses. So when you are here, there are people that are the spirits of the great ones are actually watching. Let me tell you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Moses, Abraham, all of them. It says we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and let us do what? Oh, come on. Why did you come to church? Why did you come to church? You didn't come here to fill a seat. You came to receive something. Hello? If you're coming to fill a seat, stay home next week. Just get a seat in your house and fill it. Hello? Oh, you guys can come down. Let me talk to you guys too. Why did we come to church? Not to fill a seat. It says, but let us what? Lay aside. How much weight? How much weight? How much weight? Who want to come with weight and take it back home? Put your hand up. So you guys understand me very well. We don't have an understanding problem. We have an obeying problem. Can I talk to you guys serious? Who the Lord loves, he what? Who the Lord loves, he? So one of my jobs is to correct you. Are you with me? Do you still love me? It doesn't matter. Hello. I don't preach for amens. I like amens. I don't preach for amens. I don't preach on be on anybody's good list. I'm on God's good list. Keep me on your naughty list. Let me keep being naughty to help you. But what it says. No, go back to Hebrews chapter 12, 1. Let us what? Who's carrying some weights this morning? Pastor Ab had a knee pain that was a weight. She had it for how long?
This last year.
But what did she do with it? When we made the altar call, she came up to the altar call on Wednesday, but she came before. Why do I need to go to pastor when I've been to him before and I never got healed? That's how some of you see God's church. Oh, I've been there before. I went to the altar, nothing happened. So I'm not going again. But the time you don't go, That was probably the time you should have come. Can I mess with you a little more? So if you keep your weight, it's going to continue to weigh you down. And as I look in faces, I could see weights. And some of you said, Pastor, nothing bothering me. It shows on your face. Your mind needs to be renewed. Some of us, if we smile, our face might crack. Because you've been holding that stiff face so long. You don't know what it is to have the joy of the Lord. When the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your what? We got to come to this kingdom and eat and drink and come. Jesus don't ask us to pay for it. You know, some people don't come to church if they don't have offering. That's deception. That's deception. He said, come and buy without money. Come and buy without what? Money. Buy milk. Milk is for nourishment. Come and get nourished by me. All right, so lay aside, let us, somebody say us. Say plural. It's us, not just me, not just Sister Pauline must smile. No, Sister Jackie must smile too. And Brother Powell must smile also. How many of us should have joy? Imagine you're paying. It's one thing if your child goes to public school and they don't learn. But when you pay for them to go to private school and they don't learn, it's another level. Can I tell you something? Jesus paid for all of you. The Father looks at you and he says, I paid for you. I paid for you. I paid for you. I paid for you. Why are you not eating what I'm dishing? I paid for you. Why are you not taking what I'm giving? I paid for you. So guess what you do? When you realize the boy is not taking an education, you say, boy, he's up to no good. I'm putting you in public school. The Bible says, and he gave them over to a reprobate mind. There's some people that's going to die miserable because you refuse to change. He gave them over. Somebody say, he, God. You see this thing that's called will? It's a beautiful thing. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. If God is God, you better what? This God that we serve is not a hammering God, you know, that come and beat himself into you. He's the choice God. He's the what? So if you don't want him, leave him. And a lot of people in church has left God. Don't be one of them. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't join them. And say, neighbor, if you're one of them, I'm not coming with you. Are you with me? Somebody say, lay aside. How many wait? How many wait? Every weight, Pastor Cher. Everything that holds you back, lay it aside. If Pastor Sam holding you back, lay him aside. How much weight? Later, side. Don't let nothing come between you and God. Don't let nothing come between your worship to God. Are you with me? If you get this message, I'm good. I don't need to preach anything else. Lay it aside. You know why sometimes spouses give us so much stress? We don't give them to God. We want to fix them and we hold them like this by the neck. I'm gonna deal with you. You know why sometimes our children don't get fixed? We don't give them to God. And the other part is, we don't show them the way they should go. Somebody say, lay aside. Every weight. And look, it continues. And sin. Some of you are living in sin. All right, let's put us. Some of us, because they say, let us, so you don't feel too bad. When you come to church and you get convicted, say, praise the Lord. At least my conscience is alive. Because come time where some people don't get convicted because their conscience is seared with hot iron. You know what seared is? You ever seen a cow get brand? You ever see that? That piece of skin becomes so tough. That piece of skin, somebody just Google this for me. The branding of an animal. Put it up. So some of us don't know. We grew up in a culture where the brand man would come around with the brand. And they would light the fire and hot the brand. And tie the cow and lay him down. Anybody ever seen that? You know about that, right, sir? The butcher is here. And when they brand the cow, he would cry. Look here. You know what the branding shows? Who owns it? And that's a legal number that is given by the council of the town. You can't just make your own number. So anywhere they see six, they know who cow it is. So if your cow go and eat out people plant, they can report cow number six was at my house. You know, Jesus said he knows those who are his. He knows his own. He said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my... When last you check what voice you're listening to? When last you stop and look at your life, am I following the voice of Jesus? Maybe seated, let me keep talking to you. When last you stop and looked at your life and say, am I following the Lord? Whose voice am I listening to? So they brand the cow, put it back up. I'm still here. And the part that is branded becomes tough. It doesn't matter what storm the cow goes through. It doesn't matter what he faces in life. The number remains. Don't let your conscience become seared. Find me that scripture, seared with hot iron. Where sin hits your mind, that brand represents sin. Sin, you're so caught up in sin. Speaking lies in the park. Okay, let's go one verse back. Let's go 4:1. Now the Spirit, who's saying? The Spirit expressly says. Who says? Spirit. Who says? Spirit. Whose voice should we be listening to? The Bible says, when the Holy Ghost has come, he shall lead us into all truth. Are you with me? Yes. The Holy Ghost will lead us into how much truth? So who's going to lead us into lies? The devil. Say the devil. The devil and demonic forces will lead you into lies. Who is the devil? He's the father of lies. He lied from when? The beginning. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will what? You see, I said many people are in the church, but they have left the church and they have left Jesus. They come into church, but they're not living for Jesus. Some will depart from the faith. So when you see people leaving Jesus, the Spirit says it. It's what we call the great falling away. The great falling. My mic did not cut out. I spoke softly. The great falling away. Somebody tell your neighbor, people are going to fall away. I hope not from this church, but people are going to fall away. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? What kind of spirit? Now, deception and truth, very close. To deceive someone is to just trick them, barely trick them out. It sounds right, it seems right. Deception doesn't come like black and white. It comes more like white to cream. You know cream, the color cream? It look almost white, off-white. That's deception. Very close, but it's not the real thing. Like following the Jehovah's Witness is deception. They call Jesus, but it's deception. Following Mormons, deception. Very close, but it's not the truth. Expressly, clearly says, in latter days, many were given to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There's so much argument online now about Christianity and this and that. So much voices, so many voices. I want to tell you, sometimes you just got to turn it off. Because it's just a bag of confusion. People are going to start to value the church way more now as so many voices raise up. Because it's confusion. And infighting. Sounds good, sounds right, but within it is great deception. Now, many of you may not be listening to podcasts and having this understanding of what I'm talking about. But there's so much that is happening online. And it seems nice, but way deep down inside, when you go beyond the surface. You see, don't judge people by surface. Get to know people. Don't judge people by surface. Get to know them. Find out their depth. Because anybody can pick up a mic and speak. I was telling Emma, I probably said this last week to you guys. People could fake church. Oh, yeah. You know, there was a wonderful preacher, very exciting young man. I don't remember his name, from Florida. Somebody help me. I want his name because I want to tell you guys who it was. To let you know how things can look good, but there's no depth to it. And he came from a background of addiction, him and his wife. And built a mega church, great church. But before we know it, we heard he was with a prostitute in Manhattan and overdosed and died. Zachary Timms. I'm not saying that to tarnish or to anything, but I'm saying we got to go deep. Somebody say, go deep. You are responsible for your life. You know, Ted Baker went to prison and big scandal in the 80s with the church, big scandal. Went to prison and he's now back in ministry, restored. God has a way of restoring those who repent. Hello? You, God says, I will bless who I want to bless. Yes. The Bible said the righteous fall 7 times, but the Lord what? Picks him up. I want to preach you all angles. I'm not giving you one side for you to go on the tarnishing people and using people's name to pull people out. That's not what I'm into. But I'm telling you, we still got to go deep. Yes. He was in prison. And he said, had God not put me in prison, I would have went to hell. Yes. He said, I lost the fear of God. And it's not secondhand information. It's firsthand information. Go watch podcast with John Bevere. John Bevere said, Ted Baker asked to see him because he wrote a book called The Awe of God. We're not worshiping a statue in this church. So stop dragging to church. Stop giving God half service. I stand with you here before you today. I have what they call the flu. But that's not, you would never know that. Because when it's time for me to do what God has called me, I've got to do it. Somebody say, lay aside. Lay aside. When the flu comes, don't curl. Oh, God. Oh, my skin hurts. Monday morning, you're going to work. But on Sunday, your skin hurts. Because you don't fear God. You think God is your puppet. Yeah, a lot of you think God is your puppet. You can pimp God when you want. Somebody say, lay aside.
Lay aside.
Every weight. Say, every weight. Lay aside every weight. Every weight. If it's unforgiveness, lay it aside. Broken-hearted syndrome, lay it aside. You lost money? Too bad, you're not the first. Lay it aside. Because he said he will bless you according to his riches in glory. Tell somebody, lay it aside.
Lay it aside.
So the man said, had God not put him in prison, he could have had all the money, look good, smell good, be on TV. But then on judgment day, God would have said, I know you not depart from me, you worker of iniquity, into everlasting fire. Where the fire does not quench. Torment never ends. time to wake up. Wake up, get saved. Surrender your life to God. Love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Somebody say, lay aside every weight. Anything that wants to weigh you down, lay it aside. Lay aside the sin. Now, that's weights. Weights are different from sin. Weights are like stress, things that you're going through. But then there is sin. Active sin, where you're going back and forth into the cesspit of the devil. Some of us are serial liars. Sin. You lie as if you're speaking English. It's your first language and your go-to. You ever meet some liars like that? Some people who smooth with their lies, man. Gossipers. All you do, soon as you meet some, you didn't hear? I can tell you something. Don't tell nobody, you know. Slanderers, making up stuff about people. Thieves. Drunkards. You want to read scriptures? You guys want scripture? It says, none of these shall enter the kingdom. Find me that scripture. I feel somebody's going to stop going back and forth after today. Back me up 2 verses. Okay. No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat. Some of us cheat people. Some of you want to cheat your siblings out of their property. Some of you want to cheat your own parents out of their property. They work hard all their lives. But they're sick now, you're taking them to the lawyer to sign papers. Cheat. Somebody say cheat. Cheat. And you're doing it, you see, to your brethren, your brothers and sisters. Be careful of church people. Some of them may want to cheat you. Not because they come to church mean they're saints. It says the wheat and the tear. How are they going to grow? I was having a meeting Friday night with the leaders. I said, be careful how you treat people who have money. Don't only cling to them because you could get something from them. No, there's some people like that hang around you because what they can get from you. Remember the prodigal son? He had lots of friends. When the money ends, so did the friends. Let's go to the next verse. So don't think they can't do it to you. I said, don't think they can't do it to you. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Do you not know that those who do not live righteously, and this is not only heaven, the kingdom of God is already revealed to us. We are living in the kingdom of God. Do not be what? Deceived. Slightly twisted is deception. Neither, watch here now, fornicators. Now, if you're a fornicator, put your hand. No, I'm just kidding. I think these are the kind of preaching we need really in church. I've been teaching you guys all the mysteries of the resurrection, and you're still living like you're dead. Half of the church still empty. Oh, you've been resurrected. Neither fornicators, so put your, no. Idolaters, those who idolize things. Some of us, we idolize our beauty. Can I tell you another one? Hear this one. There's a pastor's wife. And she said she's too beautiful. And her beauty is not being used in the church. She backslid, went into the world, became a model and a dancer. And one renowned biblical scholar and writer and a pastor was praying for her. And he's bombarding God, interceding. He said, the Lord appeared to him, and the Lord says, stop praying. She has left me. She don't want me. Pastor's wife. You see, Pastor Sarah, cute and nice. She better be careful. Do not idolize it. It is vain. When you're 80, you won't look like that. You're getting closer to the grave. And another cute one will come out. You see Marilyn Monroe? She said something bad about Jesus. A couple days later, she died. You guys know that name, right? Beauty. Ooh. Idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. Anyone that idolizes anything, meaning you put something in the place of God. You don't give your tithes on your offering because you idolize your money. You know why God made the law for us? One of the reasons he made the law for us to tithe is to get rid of greed. And to tell us, and don't give the spirit of mammon, please. The spirit of mammon is real. It's a spirit. Like how you have demon. It's a deceptive spirit. Very smooth, moves in. And tell you, don't trust in God. You trust me. I'm Mr. Benji. Benjamin Franklin, big note, $100. Spirit of mammon comes in. You believe in the dollar, you don't believe in God. Somebody say idolaters. No idolater. Don't idolize your job. Don't idolize your career. Some of us put our career, ooh, man, pastor, oh, I can't make it to church, man. Oh, the Lord has blessed me. I am blessed. I heard a young man preach the other day. He said he had everything. He had businesses, but everything flopped. Everything flopped. Even his girlfriend left. He said even his car almost got repossessed if his parents didn't step in. The Bible says, don't trust in riches. It can take wings. Say wings. Let me, and this sermon is going to help us get smart, because a lot of us get so deceived when we start to see. We trade God for money. We trade the permanent for the temporary. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? This is the kind of sermon people pick up their Bibles and they walk out of church. It's okay. It's not happening here, I'm just saying. Idolaters, don't idolize anything. Keep God where he is. Take your crown off every day and put it at his feet. If there's any glory, take it, Lord. If anything good in me, it's because of you. If I do any good, it's because of you. Because if it wasn't you, I would have been a wretch. No, neither fornicators. If you're fornicating, stop. Idolaters, stop. Nor adulterers. Meaning those who are married and you're sleeping with people who are not your husband. Or you're unmarried and you're sleeping with someone that is married. So you're fornicating and adulterating yourself. So all you young single ladies, those married men that look so settled and nice that comes around, they're not going to leave their wives for you. They come around, they glean, and they leave. And they mess you up and they bring demons to you. And tie you down, because the Bible says every other sin is outside the body, but sexual sin you sin against. And the Bible says you're going to have to give account to God for what you've done with your body. So, there's never a blessing that comes with sin. Sin brings what? Death. You know, as you age, you're dying. Yeah, but can I help you? The Bible says he'll renew your strength like that of the eagle. So if you serve God, you're adding life to a dying vessel. Amen. Amen. If you serve God, you are adding life to a dying vessel. So, for all of you men that love to sleep around, and these are the guys online. God, we don't have too much men here. Imagine we get three men and they're adulterers. Jesus. Or if we have four and five, we might get homosexuals and sodomites. We gotta check on the other two. We actually have a lot of men today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Give the Lord a hand. 8. Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming. You help us out. This man probably won't come back after today. He's like, this preacher caught way up, man. I'm trying to give you life, sir. It's life. It's life. No homosexuals. Oh, we preach on the homosexual one, but we don't preach on fornicators and adulterers. And we don't preach on idolaters. But also, no homosexual is going to... You know, it's funny, I had a dream last night. And I told Pastor Cheryl when I woke up, so I'm not making it up. Of a pastor that came and told me he's getting married. And guess what kind of marriage he was going to have? A homosexual marriage. And then somebody walked up to him and says, you know you can't preach anymore if you do that. I told Pastor Cher when I woke up, so I'm not fabricating. Did I tell you that, Cher? Say it louder, please. And you know what I do? I write my dreams down. I write my dreams down. So when there's fulfillment, like Pastor Abba, I told her 2 weeks ago about a dream I had a year ago, and I say, you see it fulfilled? So if you're living a homosexual life, number one, you're sinning against your body, because sexual sins are against your body. Let's go to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, and we'll go deeper. Because, you know, in the culture we live today, they have normalized homosexuality. And they have brought it down to a struggle, and then from a struggle to acceptance. But yet, did you hear about the man that shot his wife in Virginia this week? Thank you. He was like lieutenant governor or something. We look at these people and we think they're blessed. And they're happy and they have money and they have position. But tell me, man, I got Jesus. Remember, the Spirit is speaking. We need to come to Romans 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. All of you need to become slaves to Jesus. If you want to preserve your life, you got to lose it. Too many of us are holding on to our life. We don't want to give Jesus our full selves. I just hope judgment day don't catch us on the wrong side. We love the church. We love to come to church because we have nice music. We have nice singing. We have nice environment, lights and screens and things. But the people that got the gospel to us were slaves. I can only come to church once a month, Pastor. You know, I have my kids, I have laundry. I do my laundry on Sundays. And Sundays is when I go grocery shopping. Oh, I visit family. My family's come over. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. What was he called to be? An apostle and what? He was separated. Oh, but I'm not the apostle Paul. You're right about that. But are you separated? No. He was separated unto preaching, teaching, traveling, laid his life down for the gospel. Maybe that's not your calling, but you are called to be separated unto Christ. He was already separated unto Christ. Then he was separated unto the gospel. You see that? Progression. So he was separated for the gospel. But do you know you are also called to be separated? Yes. It says, come out from among them. Be ye separated and touch not the unclean thing again. Meaning you were once there, but it's time for you to separate yourself. Because if you don't separate now, there'll be a separation later that you don't want. It might as well you separate now. Find me that scripture coming from among them, be separated, Corinthians. Tell somebody, separate now. So later, you will not be separated. Say, separate now. So later, you will not be separated. Don't give God the lease. Look, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be what? Be what? Separate. Say separate. You have to separate from the world. Jesus says we're in the world, but what? Not of the world. He that loveth the world, the love of God is not in him. We can't love the world and love God. Church? I said we can't love the world and love God. The Bible said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. If God is God, serve him. Don't follow the synagogue of Satan. There are many synagogues of Satan. The churches that tell you can live anyhow you want Monday to Friday, but once you come to church and you give your tithes and your offering, you can be good. Or once you go to the priest and confess, you're good. God calls us into relationship. There's no way Pastor Cher can go sleep all week with any man she wants and then come tell me she loved me. I look at her and say, you're big, fat, dirty, stinking, good for nothing. I put on my Jamaican accent and I give her. Because it just sounds better in Jamaican for some reason. Imagine I say that in American. You big, fat, nothing. It doesn't even work. Big, fat, dirty, stinking, good for nothing. You sound better, right? But do you know that's what God might say to us? God calls us to be what? Separate. Somebody say separate. You know why we don't have no joy? We're listening to people we shouldn't be listening to all week. All week you're listening to raga. Everybody, a few people laugh. Raga shanti, man. Prophet Ryan introduced me to raga shanti. You know what he said? He said, Sam, he said, we go online and we preach and barely anybody watch us. He said, come see raga. Everybody over with the yaga yaga. Because we like to hear gossip and slander and adulterous conversation. And the word says, you once walked this way. When your conversation was this way. But now it's time to separate. Some of you need to unfollow some people online. Because a notification comes on and you click it and you go watch. But you don't even follow your church. You don't even subscribe to your church. When your church go live, if the text message don't come through, you don't know the church is live. The youths are working so hard making great content, you will never like and comment. But you're in everybody else's ungodly business. It shows on you. I said it shows on you. I said it shows on you. Where you eat, it shows. It shows. I've been eating real good. This week I kind of toned down though. I kind of behaved myself. But yeah, somebody say separate. Let's go. So write these scriptures down. 2 Corinthians 16, 6:16. Give it, put it back up. 6:17? All right, put on 6:17. Let's see it. Second Corinthians 6:17. It's all right. See, this is why you need a Bible. Come out from among them, be separate. Okay, let's go to the next one. Do not touch what is what? As a child of God, when you do anything that's not right, you are convicted. If you're not convicted, you've been seared. Your conscience, it's not your skin now, you know. In the world, the cow's skin gets seared. But what happens to us, it's like, you know, some of us, you watch a podcast and the podcaster says, I'm a Christian, but I can cuss. When the Bible says, let no filthy words come out of your mouth. And it also says you're going to have to give an account for the words. So you keep cussing, my friend. Keep cussing. I can go and you can drink and do what you want. You can get drunk all you want. You go get drunk. We're not coming with you. And sometimes you just got to tell somebody, I'm not following you. I am not following you. You do you, baby. Because I know it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I'm not trying to preach you into legalism. I'm preaching you into how to be separate and let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you don't have no light, nobody can follow you. I'll say it again. If you don't have light, nobody will follow you. Even your children wouldn't follow you. You know why a lot of preachers' kids backslide? Because they say one thing in church and they do something else at home. You want to know why a lot of preachers' kids don't go to church? Because of what they saw. I thank God my 19-year-old and my 18-year-old still comes to church. Because if we weren't doing something that was right, they could have been gone. They understand by now. You can't fool. You can only fool kids so long. And you parents who your kids are coming to church with you and they're teenagers, give God praise. Amen. When they're little, you can drag them. Hey, get up! But when they reach a certain age, you try that. You'd better let your light so shine that they might see it. They might see it. So, we're talking about homosexuals, right? So, God, somebody say I'm going to be separate. God, I'm going to preach some nice hard stuff today and fix you and send you home. Okay. Let's read from 7. Wait. Is it 7? No, not 7. 24, I think. Yeah, Romans 1. Back to Romans 1. 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. They desired it deeply and they refused God's way. To dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, meaning God couldn't restrain them. They refuse God's way. They refuse God's conviction. For this reason, God gave them up to vile or wicked passions. Now, passion is a good thing. If you're married, and you and your wife are passionate about each other, good thing, or husband and wife, very good thing. But anything outside of that is vile. And maybe I need to preach some other sermons on that because it's seems sometimes there's no passion between husbands and wives. I'm glad I didn't get an amen. That is sin also. All you wives who don't want to have intimacy with your husbands, or husbands who don't want to have intimacy with your wife, that is sin. The reason we don't have too much amen, because we don't have too much married people. Listen, you think you're struggling? Married people struggle too. I like it. Thank you, Grandpa. Yeah. For this reason, God gave them up to what? Vile passions. For even their women exchange a natural use for what is against nature. Meaning, what was natural is a woman and a man. But they give that up and they went the woman and the woman. In the world today, the world say, oh, let's have a threesome. Where you get two women and a man. And in the process, the women are doing dirty in front of the man and exciting the man. It's nasty out here. And it's crazy too. Now they go two men, one woman, and the man them play with each other too. It's disgusting. What was natural, we switch it for what is unnatural. Listen, let me tell you. I was talking to Cher the other day. I said, we didn't just get to homosexuality and LGBTQ. No, we tolerated fornication and adultery. The DJ Nicholas has a song. He says, sin bring more sin. I need to sin and more sin. Sin plus sin equals sin. And this mic don't like this message.
You sinner. No.
Sin plus sin equals more sin. So when you're tolerating a little lie, a little thief, a little gossip, cheating, it will all accumulate to big things. Yes. Let me give you an example. There were two men, and this study was done in 1906. One man was called, I think, Max Dukes. Give me my phone. And the other one was called, is this mine? Oh, my phone is at the back, the other one. Jonathan Edwards. Thank you, Annabelle. Jonathan Edwards and Max Dukes were contemporaries of the same time, I think 1600s. Jonathan Edwards was a devout preacher of the gospel. Devout. He was like Paul, separated. Can you pull it up, Anna? I can pull up on my phone. No, don't worry. I'll pull it up. Yeah. You can pull it up for me, though. Jonathan Edwards versus Max Dukes. I want to show you what devotion to God does. Here we go. Good. Jonathan Edwards lived in the 1700s, so did Max Dukes. One was a devout preacher, and one was a reckless, careless man who did not serve God, Max Dukes. Their legacy, when the study was done, oh, here we go. Five generations rule. Jonathan Edwards versus Max Dukes. A 1900 study compared two 18th century American family lines. Jonathan Edwards, a godly pastor, and Max Duke, a careless, irreligious man. Edwards, 1,400 descendants, excelled as college presidents, lawyers, public officers. Conversely, Max Dukes, who was partying, enjoying life, living careless, became what? High rates of crime, immorality, and poverty. No, that's not the right breakdown. There's a bigger, better breakdown. Give me the better breakdown. Look here. Mr. Jonathan's family produced 100 plus pastors, 60 doctors, 60 writers, 13 college presidents, 65 professors, 3 senators, 3 governors, 1 vice president. Somebody say he was separate. You think you serving God today is lightly? The Bible said the path of the just shines brighter and brighter. Let me tell you about Mr. Max Dukes. His family, 310 paupers, 100 plus alcoholics, 100 to 130 convicted, somebody say convicted, convicted criminals, including 7 murderers, 150 to 190 prostitutes. +300 premature deaths. See the blessing of separation? Do you see the blessing of separation? So when you sit in your home and you pray with your children, you're setting them up for the future. When you read the word of God, you're setting them up for the future. When you bring them to the house of God, you're setting them up for the future. Listen to me, you don't have to be a doctor to raise doctors.
Come on. Amen.
He was a preacher. Don't live for today. Some of us just want to be cutesy bootsies all day long, not thinking about tomorrow. Not thinking that your children are an heritage, an inheritance from God. And they're given to you for you to raise them and shoot them in the direction they should go. Don't live for the pleasures of this life. Watch people that live for pleasure. They don't go very far. Pleasures limit you. When you're supposed to be getting up to go to work, you're drunk. You're feeling good. You're high. You're feeling good. You see this thing they normalize? Marijuana? It's to destroy classes of people. They don't love you. They're giving you access to what will hold you back. I don't see no cannabis store in Garden City where the affluent people live. But where all the brown and black people are is where all the cannabis stores are. Wake up, church! Stop voting for those people. Because you're putting them in power to destroy your generations. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. The Bible says, awake, ye that slumbereth, and Christ shall give you light. Whew. And because they wanted it their way, God released them. Verse 26. God gave them up to vile passions. Even their women exchange the natural use of the body for what is against nature. Likewise also the men leaving the natural estate of the woman, burning their lust for one another. Men with men. Committing what is shameful. We call it normal. God calls it shameful. You have a problem? Pick it up with Almighty God. All scripture is God-breathed and inspired by God. If you're having homosexual inclinations and struggle, talk to God about it. Or come talk to me. Talk to Pastor Cher. We'll help you through it. Don't suffer alone. This message is not to suffer you. This message is to separate you. Amen. And to help you out of it. Yeah. I know the struggle is real. But God is greater. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. God is greater. Why we don't want you to use drugs? A lot of people end up in things they never thought they would end up in when they use drugs. Because you lose your judgment. And then when you leave that place, you understood that you didn't sleep with a woman, you slept with a guy. So then the spirit now is on you and you can't help yourself. Now you want guy. You saw spirits enter? It's not funny. It's nothing to laugh about. You get high, and when you found out you slept with a woman and you're a woman, so now the door is open. So then we got to drive the spirit out and shut the door. You hang out with angry people, all of a sudden you find yourself getting angry all the time. You open the door. You hang out with gossipers, now you're gossiping. You open the door. You never used to lie and cheat, but you hang out with them cheating people because you see them getting rich. How you get rich? Then they show you, you do this, you do that. And you pick the system. But what you got to do? You got to shut the door. And some of it you can shut on your own, but there's some where you got to come to the elders for help. Amen. Come! Don't be deceived! I'm sure you never heard me broadcast anybody's story from this pulpit. Anything that's not public, I don't talk about it. Meaning, your business. I don't come here to preach people business, so you don't ever have to worry that your business goes back out. Amen. Good. Except Pastor Share Business, I always put that out. I tell her, you know, I said, if you ever start doing wrong, everybody's going to know it. I tell everybody about you. So fast, you get straight quick. I like my job. Are we getting something? God wants us to be separate. God don't want us, our conscience, to be seared with sin. Sin is the hot iron. Sin is the hot iron. Because sin brings rebellion. And you know God can't deal with rebellion. He begs you to come. But then it comes a point where he has to open the earth and swallow some. Remember the book of, I think it's Numbers? He said, Moses, move. He said, move quick. He says, who's on the Lord's side? Come on this side. Who's not on the Lord's side? Stay on this side. The earth opened and swallowed them. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Ananias and Sapphira died in front of the apostles. Many are still dying today without knowing it. Let's go back now, after all of this, to the scripture I wanted to open with, Romans 12, 1. So somebody say, lay aside, every weight and the sin, that so easily besets you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, I am begging you, I am encouraging you, brethren, by what? Oh, he says, take mercies while they are mercies. Take mercies while it's available. There'll be a time when the mercies of God will run out. Somebody say, take mercy while it's available. By the mercies of God that you present your what? Your bodies. I cannot spiritualize bodies. It's what I'm looking at. Your bodies. 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 Present your. Oh, but God sees my heart. You're sure right, he does. What is here shows here. If you're consumed with the love of God in here, when it's praise and worship time, it's going to show. When you meet somebody, what comes out of here will show what's in here. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. That you present your body is a what? Wow, sacrifice normally dies. But here he's saying, whilst you're alive, sacrifice. I don't feel like coming. But you have to be in church because it said, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. I don't feel like shouting. But the Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I don't feel like dancing. But we are instructed in Psalm 148 to dance. Present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Separated unto God. Holy, living sacrifice what? Holy, and what else? It has to be acceptable to God. It has to be what? Acceptable to God. It has to be what? You know, in every home, there are things that are acceptable, and then there's some things that are what? Not acceptable. In the house of God, there are things that are acceptable, and there are things that are not acceptable. We have lost direction as children of God. We have too much self-will. Too much self-will. Where we drag ourselves out all day Saturday and we come to church to sit down. Where's your sacrifice? Where is your sacrifice? We give the world everything. Some of you, the way you clean your house is more than how you worship. Not a dust anywhere. That's nice. That's okay. But if your house is clean and your life is filthy, you have your priorities upside down. Young people, when you're going to hang out everywhere with your friends, you're all up. Yeah. But when you come to church, what's up? Nothing. How was your week? Acting like a dummy. That's how the devil wants you. I said that's how the devil wants you. That's deception. That was maybe a little extra, but some of you are very close to that. Just don't give God the least. Imagine you hear this sermon and you keep doing what you've been doing. If that happens to you, that means your conscience is seared. If you continue, if you're convicted and you continue, that means your conscience is seared. Even God can't get in. Oh, Lord, help me not to preach like this.
Preach.
You got to stop and ask God if what I'm doing is acceptable. If you judge yourself up front, do you know you will not be judged? If you judge yourself, you will not be judged. There's a scripture like that. Meaning, you correct yourself. Don't wait for God having to do it. Because we open with the Spirit expressly says, where does the Spirit live? So the Holy Spirit is convicting you and giving you direction, but you're refusing it. Oh, here we go. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 Corinthians 11:31. Write that down. Remember, I told you this is school of spirit. I'm small now. We're going to get big one day. When people realize that the shallow stuff is leading them straight to hell, they will run into the house of God. What's that? That's all right. Leave the lace. If we judge, go back to where we were. So, holy, acceptable. Take stock of yourself. We hear Pastor Dolly says all the time, take an inventory of yourself. See where you are. Are you pleasing God? Are you honoring God? Do you know one reason you come to church is for alignment?
Yes.
If my car tires are not aligned, they'll finish before time. I don't want you to finish before time. I want you to fulfill your time.
Yeah.
And fulfill your purpose. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Meaning, it is just right that we do this. It's the most, it's the least that we can do for God. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to the world. Don't bring the world's way into the church. Don't bring the world's behavior in the church. And can I tell you, you are the church?
Yes.
I'm not talking about just this couple square feet that we have here. Don't allow the world's way to infiltrate you. Be not conformed, or don't be shaped according to the world. Don't let the world shape you. No, you're the salt of the earth. You're supposed to shape. Yesterday I did some cooking. And when the curry didn't taste good, Anna said, put some more salt. What I did, I put the salt and the salt shaped the pot. It went from not tasting good to tasting great. When Pastor Cher came home, she tasted. I said, how it tastes? Oh, good. And you know, I want to hear it. It's real good. I'm not satisfied with it. I'm like, you don't like it. You don't like it. She's like, no, it tastes real good. Because, you know, I only cook once in a while, once a year, twice a year. So, and guess what? I cook a lot for her. I cook like 4 days worth of food for her. So that way she don't have to beat up herself too much. Mother-in-law, you should really thank God for her son-in-law like me. We have to see if we're acceptable. I got to see if I'm an acceptable son-in-law. You understand? Because if I'm hurting my mother-in-law based on how I'm treating her, not acceptable. You understand? So the same way we have to look at our life, is our lives pleasing God? Am I living the way that makes God smile? Do I make, when God looks at me, he said, this is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son. So don't conform to the world. The world is angry. Don't be angry. Be joyful. Oh, I hate to see Christian people look sour. That's deception. But be transformed. Somebody say, be transformed. Some of us are saved, but we're not transformed.
Yes. Amen.
Meaning you were one way, now you're another way. You left one state, and you come to another state. Hello? The caterpillar and the butterfly is the same person. But one was transformed from one state to another. Which is first? The caterpillar or the butterfly?
Caterpillar.
Good. Who loves caterpillar? One person. Who likes butterflies? You see? You remain a caterpillar as a Christian. Only one person's going to like you. But when you become a butterfly, you become beautiful and life-giving. And when people look at you, they're like, wow!
Yes.
Somebody say, get transformed.
Get transformed.
I don't like caterpillars. They eat out my plants. By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good. Let's see the word again. Acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. Give me the NLT, Anna. For same verse 2. Do not copy. Now look at this. In everyday's language now. Do not copy the behaviors and customs of the world. So when you go to school and your friends are behaving, don't copy them. You go to the workplace and everybody's clocking in late. Don't copy them. They're cooking the books. Don't copy them. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, only then you will learn to know God's will for you. When you're willing to think God's way. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Meaning, it is good, pleasing, and perfect unto God. Amen? Praise God. All right. Okay, do not conform to this world or the age of fashion your life after and adapt its external superficial, meaning it is temporary, superficial customs, but be transformed. Change. By the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. See that? This, the way of the kingdom is different than the way of the world. You have to subject yourself to the mindset of the kingdom. Let's stand. Let's go back to Hebrews 12 and we'll wrap this up. Hallelujah. Let me take you back where we started. They say that's what good preachers do. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by what? So great a cloud of witnesses. Let us what? Oh, come on. Let us what? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How much weight? How many? Think of a weight that you need to throw off. Just bow your heads. Close your eyes. Think of something that you need to let go of. Something that's like really holding you back. Maybe it's some friends you need to get rid of. And this is for every age. Some acquaintances, some shows or things. No, seriously. Like, you really got to move on. You really have to grow. It's your life. If you have, you're older and you're saying, I have like 10 more years to live. If you're like 70-something, you're knocking on heaven's door for sure. Don't waste the rest of your years. Don't say, oh, I live life and I can do what. No, your days are important. And young people don't say, I have a lot of time. Before you know it, you'll be 20. Before you know it, you'll be 30. Before you know it, you'll be like Pastor Ab in your 50s. We always have this conversation because we grew up together. She was older than me, but she knew me since I was about 8 years old. And we're like, oh my God, when did we become 40? When she's like, when did I become 50-something? We don't have a lot of time. Think soberly. Let's get back. We're back to what we're saying. What it is you have to lay aside. What is something that weighs you down? What is a sin that so easily ensnares you? It's a trap to you. Every time you want to go forward, it pulls you back down. Something you've been trying to shake and you're not able to.